Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu Perek He, Chapter 5. Throughout the early Nevuot of Yirmiyahu, though filled with painful images of impending punishment, there still ran a thread of optimism, as Yirmiyahu remained hopeful that the Tshuva movement, which was initiated by Yoshiyahu, would take hold of the nation and mark the beginning of the Geula. However, those hopes were dashed when it became apparent that the idolatry instituted during the 55 years of Menashe's reign before Yoshiyahu had become so deeply ingrained in Judean society that even under the influence of Yoshiyahu, the people were only going through the motions of teshuvah, not repenting sincerely. And Yirmiyahu was further devastated by the death of Yoshiyahu on the battlefield because he realized that the nation's best hope for preventing the Churban had been eliminated, and the painful visions that he experienced of the destruction of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash were drawing closer to becoming reality. In today's perek, Yirmiyahu continues to prophesy destruction, while seeking with increasing desperation any glimmer of hope that these prophecies might yet be averted. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Shotetu b'chutzot Yerushalayim, ure'una ude'u uvakshu b'rchovoteha, im timtzu'u ish, im yesh oseh mishpat mevakesh emuna ve'eslachla. Roam the streets of Yerushalayim, seek in its streets and see whether there is even one man of integrity who acts justly and seeks faithfulness. If you find even one such man, I will forgive her. Malbim explains that having prophesied the destruction of the city so vividly, Hashem now demonstrates to Yirmiyahu why such devastation is necessary. The argument posed here echoes the argument of Avraham Avinu with Hashem when he was informed of the impending destruction of Sodom and Amorah. Avraham pleaded with Hashem, if there are 50 tzaddikim in the city, would it be saved? 40, 30, 20, 10. Here, Hashem is willing to be satisfied with just one man committed to faith and justice, and not even one such could be found in all of Yerushalayim. And Radak suggests in the name of his father that Hashem instructed Yirmiyahu to search the courtyards and the streets where evildoers prevailed. Perhaps there were righteous people in Yerushalayim, but the city had become so pervasively evil that the righteous were afraid to show their faces in public and had gone into hiding. Even those who swore in the name of Hashem swore falsely and could not be trusted. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Hashem, Einecha halola emuna, hikita otam velo chalu kilitam. Me'anu kachat musar, chizkuf nehem isela, me'anu lashuv. Hashem, cries the Navi, you seek integrity, you have struck them, and yet they remain impervious, refusing to accept discipline and to repent. Mishpitzot Zahav explains that Yirmiyahu is pleading with Hashem, suggesting that since the people have hardened themselves and refused to see Hashem's hand through punishment, perhaps in his great love for them he should reveal himself instead through miracles and wonders in order to restore their emunah and draw the people back to him. And Chazal derive from here that the return from exile is dependent upon an awakening of emunah. Einecha halo le'emunah. Your eyes seek emunah. Baruch Hashem, in our own time, we see a tremendous awakening of this emunah, of faith, concurrent with the return of great numbers of diaspora Jews to the land of Israel, rectifying the sins of the generation of the Churban. Yirmiyahu persists in his effort to find merit among the people. Va'ani amarti, ach dalim heim, no alu, ki lo yadu derech Hashem, mishpat elokehem. I said to myself, I've been seeking among the poor people. They act foolishly, for they know not the ways of Hashem, the principles of divine justice. Perhaps their education was lacking. Perhaps their sin is born of desperate circumstances. El chali el hagdolim, v'adabra otam, ki hema yad'u derech Hashem, mishpat elokehem, ach hema yachdav, shavru ol, nitku moserot. Let me go among the higher classes. I'll speak with them. They certainly know the way of Hashem, the justice of their God. But they, too, broke free of the yoke of the covenant, shattered the bond. Since they sinned knowingly and rebelliously, they will be punished harshly. The lion of the forest will smite them. The wolf of the desert will ravage them. The leopard lies in wait by their towns. All who leave will be preyed upon. Rashi explains midrashically that Yirmiyahu is prophesying here about the four kingdoms who will rule over Israel throughout the exiles. The lion is Babel. We've already seen Nebuchadnezzar compared to a lion. The wolf is the empire of Persia and Media. The leopard is Greece, and the final predator is Edom, the Christian world. The implication is that all of these exiles, including our current one, are caused by resistance to Teshuvah, the willful denial of Hashem's presence in the world and of his teachings. "Why should I forgive you?" asks Hashem. "Your children have abandoned me, swearing by false gods. I fed them well, making them prosperous, and they turned adulterous. They reveled in immoral behavior." Pasuk Tet, verse 9, "Ha'al eile lo efkod ne'um Hashem? Ve'im begoya sher kazeh lo titnakem nafshi? Should I not hold them accountable? Should I not exact retribution from such a nation?" Yet even after such a seemingly decisive decree of punishment, Yirmiyahu holds out a ray of hope. "Alu b'sharoteha v'shachetu v'chala al ta'asu." Hashem calls to the enemies of Israel, "Go up and attack the outskirts of the city and ravage it. Nevertheless, do not completely destroy it." Malbim explains the verse allegorically, suggesting that the word b'sharoteha, literally meaning "in its rows," refers to the rows of grapevines growing in the vineyards surrounding Yerushalayim. Destroy them, but not completely. Hasiru netishoteha, ki lo la'ashem hema. Remove the large branches that spread over them and prevent the growth of the grapes. The Jewish people are compared to the vineyard of Hashem, and the leadership represented by the large branches, the kings and officers such as Menashe and Amon and their entourages and counselors, must be excised, for they are no longer mine, says Hashem. This interpretation is consistent with Yirmiyahu's earlier critique of the leadership of the nation, who failed to direct the hearts of the people toward Hashem, and instead led them to worship foreign gods. Both Beit Yisrael and Beit Yehuda have betrayed Hashem, denying his existence and the principle of reward and punishment, saying, "No harm will befall us, nothing will happen. We won't starve or fall prey to the sword. The prophets are full of hot air, speaking meaningless words. May what they prophesy befall them. Therefore, says Hashem, because you have said such things, my words will be as fire in your mouths and will consume you like trees. I shall bring upon you a nation from afar, a powerful ancient nation whose language you do not speak and whose words you will not understand." The fact that the nation will come from afar attests to the fact that they are not attacking Israel in consequence of some border dispute, desire to extend their own territory, rather only as messengers of Hashem sent to punish them. The language barrier will prevent the people from being able to plead for mercy and is just punishment for their refusal to comprehend the words of the Nevi'im, who begged them to return to Hashem and avert punishment. This powerful enemy will devour your produce, your children, your sheep and cattle, your figs and grapes. Your fortified cities will be laid waste. All the prosperity for which the people failed to thank Hashem and took for granted as rightfully theirs will be despoiled by the enemy. Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, "V'gam bayamim ha'hemanu umashem lo e'ese itchem kala." Even then, says Hashem, I will not completely destroy you. V'haya ki tomru tachat me'asa Hashem elokeinu lanu et kol eila. And when you ask, why did Hashem do this to us? The commentators explain that this is referring to the children who will be born in exile, who will sincerely want to know what caused the devastation. Why were their parents uprooted from their homeland and exiled to distant lands? Be'amarta alehem ka'asher azavtem oti v'ta'abdu Elohei Nechar be'artzachem kein ta'abdu zarim be'eretz lo lachem. You, the Navi, will explain to them that the punishment was measure for measure. They abandoned Hashem and worshipped foreign gods in the land of Israel. Thus, they were exiled to foreign lands. The Navi is telling us this is a question we should be asking the descendants of the exiles, and we should be looking for the answers in the words of the Nevi'im. This is the purpose for which the Navi's words were recorded. Hagidu zot bevet Yaakov, v'hashmi'u ha'v'Yehuda, le'mor. Proclaim this in the house of Yaakov and let it be heard in Yehuda. Foolish, heartless people, you have eyes but do not see, ears but do not hear. You failed to learn your lesson from the events you witnessed with your own eyes and heard of with your own ears, of the destruction of the northern kingdom in consequence of its sins. We can't help but hear the echo of the pasuk in Tehillim, Einayim lahem velo yiru, oznayim velo ya'azinu. They have eyes but don't see, ears that don't listen. And there the Mishorer is describing the gold and silver idols of the nations. Again, this is a fulfillment of Yirmiyahu's earlier words in Perek Bet. Vayelchu acharei ha-hevel, vayehebalu. They pursued emptiness and they themselves became empty. The people have become as unseeing and unhearing as the worthless man-made gods they worshipped. Pasuk Chavbet, verse 22, Ha'oti lo tira'u ne'um Hashem, en mipanai lo tachilu. Will you not fear me, says Hashem? Will you not tremble before me? Unlike your worthless gods, Hashem created the world, the roaring sea and the sand which borders it. Hashem created powerful forces of nature that may clash with one another but are bound by the laws which he set for them. This nation has a wayward and rebellious heart, refusing to fear God despite the fact that he sent rain in its appropriate time and in the right measure for an abundant harvest. Your sins have withheld this good from you, for there are evil men within my nation who entrap people and lure them into evil deeds. Like a chicken coop, their homes are filled with deceit, and they have become great and wealthy through the proceeds of their crimes. They have persecuted orphans and poor people, taking advantage of their vulnerability. For a second time, we hear the refrain, Pasuk Chavtet, verse 29, Ha'al ele lo efkod ne'um Hashem? In begoya sher kazeh lo titnakem nafshi? Should I not hold them accountable? Should I not exact retribution from such a nation? Although the words are the same, there's an important distinction between the two appearances of this refrain. In the first instance, Hashem was referring to the immorality of the people, both literally and metaphorically, having abandoned the service of Hashem for foreign gods. And in this second instance, Hashem is unwilling to tolerate the degree to which interpersonal relationships have deteriorated in Jewish society, the failure to carry out justice according to Torah law. Pasuk Lamed, verse 30, Shama v'sha'arura niyata ba'aretz. Desolation and disgrace prevail in the land. Hanvi'im niv'u ba'sheker, v'akohanim yirdu al yedehem, v'ami ahavuchem. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests govern according to their direction. And my people love it. Therefore, what can be done to end this if the prophets, who are intended to bring the people back to Hashem, are telling them not to worry, they can continue as they are and everything will be fine? The Kohanim, who should be teaching them Torah, are not only ineffectual in educating the people to know better, they're actively supporting the false prophets. How can such a situation be salvaged? There is no one who is willing or able to turn things around. Thus, divine punishment is necessary to eradicate the evil from the nation like the overgrown branches shattering the grapes and preventing them from reaching their potential. Only if the evil is removed can the nation once again recognize Hashem and return to him. This is the ultimate goal of the punishment, to repair and to regrow the relationship between Hashem and the people he still loves among all the nations. Thank you for learning together. L'refuah shleima l'yonina sima bat Dafna Hinda, Jennifer hayikara shelanu, v'lipetzuei tzahal achenu hayikarim, b'toch sha'ar chole Yisrael, Nina v'chaim Schenker.